There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to another edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. We are in the heart of draft season, getting you ready to dominate your draft, your auction, however you like to play. We're here to support you. And by we, I mean myself, Paul Charchian, and my co-hosts today are Scott Fish and Brian Johnson. Hello, guys.
What's going on?
What up, boys?
Nice to talk to you. We begin each show by taking a tour around the training camps and letting people know what's happening with each of the 32 teams. But we will also tell you a lot of other things over the course of the show, including: what are every team's tendencies inside the 5-yard line and why you should care, and you should. We'll play our usual three tough questions. We've got our blacklist, guys that we will not draft, guys we never end up with, guys we don't like, that are household names that are potentially sitting on your roster, and we'll make our case for why we won't draft these guys. We'll also talk about the traits of a running back bust, and we will unveil our sleepers. Lots of stuff to get to over the remaining better part of 2 hours of this very meaty show.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's start with our training camp information from each of the teams in the league, beginning with the Carolina Panthers. Brian?
Not a lot of major news coming out of Carolina. I'm not going to talk about Dan Arnold, believe it or not, either.
Robbie Anderson
did sign a 2-year, $29.5 million contract extension. People were writing off Robbie Anderson based on Fish's boy, Terrace Marshall's strong camp. But Robbie's not going anywhere. Now, a little undervalued in drafts right now.
I think that's accurate. Scott, let's go to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, so Darren Waller, after missing a ton of practices, like 9 or 10 in a row, he is back. He's making plays. You can stuff those worries in a sack. He's all fine. But also, Bryan Edwards appears to be Carr's go-to among the wide receivers, so maybe for a late round in a deep draft.
Yeah, my sack was never worried about. About Waller, just to be clear about that.
I think that's an old George Costanza thing, right? Stuff him in a sack or whatever.
Maybe that is. I don't know. Let's go to the Packers. A.J. Dillon looked good in the preseason and is expected to see a wildly expanded role this year. Interestingly, he was targeted 3 times in last weekend's preseason game. He was only targeted 3 times all last year. And so it may be that he's going to be a little more of a pass-catching threat than he was allowed to be last year. And a lot of times it takes a little bit of faith in the coaching staff, from the coaching staff, in order for a player to get passes thrown to them, to be allowed to be on the field for pass blocking duties. And maybe A.J. Dillon is expanding into that role. Let's go over to the Washington football team, Brian.
Curtis Samuel has basically missed all of camp. He's been hampered by a groin issue and COVID, but Ron Rivera says he's pretty optimistic that Samuel returns, quote-unquote, sometime next week.
Okay.
Sounds real promising. I don't know. So Samuel's running out of time to get ready for the season. So
yeah, new team too. Now, granted, old system. He knows the system and the terminology and everything else, but still.
And like, also, real quick, out of Washington, Stu Beard, not officially named the week one starter yet, Church.
That's absurd.
How's your sack feeling about that one?
I have sad sack. All right. Let's go to the Buffalo Bills.
So in the Singletary versus Zach Moss lovely battle that we love, Singletary started and played 18 of the first 20 snaps, but only touched the ball three times. And then Zach Moss came in for the next 20 or so and touched the ball four times. So, it's really tough to love this backfield right now.
It might be a lose-lose, which would be disappointing. For the Texans, media reports say that they will keep Deshaun Watson on their 53-man roster. He's working with the third and fourth team in practice, which indicates the team does not likely plan to use him. They can't release Watson. They can't IR Watson. So they're kind of in a jam here, and they'll almost certainly try to put him on the commissioner's exemption list.
But I don't think he can by the rules.
He might not be eligible.
Because we can go into that later.
Yes. It sounds
like he's not eligible for it.
Yep. And so Houston might be a jam, and they might have to waste one of their precious 53-man roster spots on Deshaun Watson and maybe, hopefully, ultimately trade him. Let's go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Kind of a quiet camp for the defending champs as well. The starters, the big names, have combined to play just six offensive snaps so far this preseason. But all the household names for Tampa Bay should play a full half on Saturday night. So we'll get to see how rusty they are. But it seems like they've just been partying this whole time since they won the Super Bowl. I don't know. But we'll see them on Saturday night.
All right. Scott. Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns. Donovan Peoples-Jones working with the first team, maybe a late-round guy. But I think the only thing I want to note here is this is the first year Baker Mayfield's going to have the same coach and coordinators in back-to-back seasons.
Oh.
So, and last year he had his best touchdown-to-interception ratio. You know, you got to imagine it improves. Maybe there's upside.
I'm so glad you brought him up because he's going off the board as roughly quarterback like 17, 18. If you take out those monsoon, cold weather, you know, like late October, early November, quasi-blizzard condition stuff,
right?
He's actually a really consistent fantasy producer. Mm-hmm. And I think Kevin Stefanski's goal last year was to just build confidence in Baker Mayfield, not ask him to do too much, lean heavily on the running game. I think Stefanski's going to loosen up the reins a bit here. Odell Beckham returns. There's some real tangible upside in Baker Mayfield.
There is.
Let's go to the Indianapolis Colts. Carson Wentz returned to practice and looks increasingly like he will be the team's week one starter. He's already practicing with the first team. And kicker Rodrigo Blankenship won the kicking job over Eddie Pinheiro. Although I think Pinheiro may surface somewhere else. He was actually really good too. So right now, signs pointing up on Carson Wentz in this offense. Next up, the Detroit Lions.
That was way too much kicker talk for this show. Just that one.
Not enough. I'm going to bring up more.
Head coach Dan Campbell, very concerned about DeAndre Swift's availability for week one against the 49ers. Swift has missed a lot of time this month nursing a groin issue. So fire up your Jamal Williams shares and keep an eye on Jermar Jefferson, too, rookie running back for Detroit. And shocker, also a groin issue for Tyrell Williams already.
But
he's expected back next week, but he's expected to be out again the following week, I'm sure.
You're just projecting him to be out then.
Amon Ra.
All right. Scott, let's head over to the New York Jets.
All right. So Michael Carter right now, who we seem to like on this show, is currently listed as the third running back on the depth chart, and he came in the game as the fourth running back.
Yeah.
Way deep in the game in the second half, even after LaMichael Perine. Coleman and Ty Johnson appear to be the starters. Beat reporters have stated they believe it's going to be a three-headed monster this season.
It might start that way.
Yes.
But it's not going to end that way.
Yes. We fantasy analysts all assume that Carter's going to emerge, but I mean, we've seen these timeshares linger far longer than they should.
In Kansas City, I know I'm the only guy in the universe talking about Byron Pringle. And I, you know, give me the opportunity to talk about Byron Pringle, and I'll bend your ear for a long time. He's looked good, including leading the Chiefs in receptions in the last preseason game. He's also been a camp standout at various times. Somebody's going to walk into the starting job left behind by Sammy Watkins. I think, and Mecole Hardman's already been rostered. If you've already had your draft, Mecole Hardman's already been rostered.
Right.
And maybe it's going to be him. Or maybe Mecole Hardman just does exactly what he's been doing, and Byron Pringle wins that number two job. Consider picking him up or drafting him with the last pick.
Especially in your league. If he takes over Sammy Watkins' week one role.
Well, yeah, exactly. You can start him for 1 week. Byron Pringle. Let's head next to the Seahawks.
Reports out of Seahawks camp are that tight end Gerald Everett is becoming a favorite target of Russell Wilson. And Wilson has kind of always leaned on his tight ends, but it's kind of been a revolving door of players. He's never had a guy at tight end, and that might be Gerald Everett, who right now is going off the board roughly as tight end 25. He's essentially free. A lot of tight ends out there this season.
Scott, I think I know what you're going to say about the Denver Broncos. We've got the wrong quarterback.
Teddy's the starter. Great for Judy, less so for Sutton. But Sutton still seems hurt and a little bit hesitant in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon's also ailing. Fant is ailing. But everybody should be ready for week one. But yeah, it's Teddy.
It's Teddy. One touchdown pass a game across his career. One.
Yeah, I like that the coaching staff said Locke had improved greatly, and I'm like, improved so much that he's not quite as good as Teddy Bridgewater, apparently.
If that's how you feel about an improved Drew Locke,
yeah.
Why didn't the Broncos draft Justin Fields?
Exactly, yep.
If Teddy wins a Super Bowl, guaranteed he gets a Hollywood biopic, picture me about, right?
Probably.
He better.
The Rams, Sean McVay clarified that Daryl Henderson remains the lead back even after acquiring Sony Michel. So shortly after Cam Akers' injury, McVay did say that he had to be cautious about Henderson's usage, and I think this move reflects that. Let's head to the Eagles next.
Quez Watkins, wide receiver, running with the first team offense as the slot receiver. Travis Fulgham was he was the hot pickup last year, but he's essentially on the bubble. But Quez Watkins, fantasy relevant.
He is fantasy relevant. I added him to the Guillotine League cheat sheet, and there's Quez Watkins.
Now it's official.
On radars. Miami Dolphins, Scott.
Yeah, so Gaskin is getting a ton of work, including receiving work. He only played 19 snaps, all with the first team in the last preseason game. 10 touches, 71 yards, 4 catches, 2 touchdowns. He was all over everything. And it also sounds like Jalen Waddle has a great connection with Tua, will impact right away. He's been the only healthy receiver, though. So
people concerned with the platoon there in Miami, they're out of their mind. Gaskin.
Oh, it's all Gaskin. Yeah. Yep.
For the Vikings, Adam Thielen's got this thigh injury that happened early in the second preseason game. It's kept him out of the third preseason game, and it's not a given he's going to be available for week one. So just keep this on your radar that you need to watch this. The deep thigh bruise, we've seen guys get sidelined for months on this injury. Mm-hmm. And you know the Vikings have no obligation to disclose anything about the severity of it, so we don't know for sure. So hopefully it's nothing, but just keep an eye on Adam Thielen and the status of his injury. Next up, the Cowboys.
Dak Prescott, supposedly a full go with the ankle and the shoulder issues, are going to take the kiddie gloves off of Dak. I'm still a little concerned about Prescott. We'll talk about him a little more later in the show.
Sounds good. Scott, how about New England?
Oh, there's so many things here. We got the palindrome QB battle, the Mac versus Cam. Cam.
I like it. Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah, neither had I until this last week. I realized that they were backwards of each other, but yeah, Mac v. Cam. Seems like Mac has started to take the lead, especially after 5 days of Cam Newton missing practices. Bill Belichick didn't deny a platoon at quarterback, maybe like a Winston Taysom kind
gross.
Of deal, which will be gross for everybody. But my main thing is the Michelle trade opens up the door for Ramondre Stevenson taking the second snaps after, after Harris.
Yeah, it could. Stevenson's look good. Let's go to the Saints. Jameis Winston has officially moved ahead of Taysom Hill, and he is expected to be your starter. Winston's a dramatically better passer, and this is good news for fantasy owners for sure. Last weekend's connection with Marquez Callaway looked very promising. Callaway looks like the starter. Currently unclear if Traquan Smith's undisclosed injury will allow him to play in the opener. And then also we're monitoring Adam Trautman's foot injury. That is, I think, more likely to keep him out. So there's still a lot of moving parts here, but they got the right guy. Unlike the Broncos, they got the right guy as the starter in New Orleans. Next up, the Giants.
Yeah, Dave Gettleman's House of Horrors. Kenny Galladay, hamstring issue, went down 25 days ago, roughly 25 days ago. That's beyond his 2 to 3 week timetable.
He's had so many hamstring issues.
So,
yeah.
Not looking likely for that he's going to be a full go for week one. So, yeah, Kenny Golladay falling down draft boards. Sterling Shepard going way too cheap.
He is going too cheap.
The one giant I pretty much trust this year based on ADP, Sterling Shepard.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the Titans next.
Not much here. Mostly just that Julio and A.J. Brown have been, you know, banged up, but they should be ready to go for the season.
Julio banged up? No.
Yeah.
Steelers crazy. Rookie tight end Pat Freiermuth is impressed and was used in the red zone in the last preseason game. He's got this big 6'5" frame that makes him a potential end zone target throughout his career. Although mostly I think you're aiming in Dynasty and Keeper leagues, you're aiming Empire leagues, you're aiming for 2022 with Freiermuth after Eric Ebron's contract expires. He's going to be gone next year, and then Freiermuth's your full-time starter. But good early signs for Pat Freiermuth. Let's go to the Falcons next.
Running back Javian Hawkins was let go. He was kind of a sleeper favorite to maybe win the backup job. That's clearly going to go to Quadri Allison now. He's the RB2 behind Mike Davis. That is until Atlanta signs Latavius Murray. That's just a prediction of mine. But okay. I think the Saints
there's
let
no
him
basis
go.
In fact on no. that is what you're saying.
And Josh Rosen, still in the league, signed as the backup quarterback in Atlanta as well. Might as well throw that out there. Mm-hmm. I know some people are holding on to him in dynasty leagues, deep dynasty leagues. Just
praying. Can't be deep enough. Let's head over to the Bengals next.
Rumors surfaced this week of Auden Tate seeing more work early in the season as Chase gets used to things. Jamar Chase, who's struggled so far in camp. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, he hasn't played football in 20 months. He's knocking some rust off. So I'm not too worried about him, but I do love T. Higgins a lot more right now.
T. Higgins, I think, is going underdrafted.
He really is.
As soon as Chase hit the roster, people are like, oh, I'm done on T. Higgins. Higgins is sitting on one of those big second-year wide receiver jumps.
He was very good with Burrow. Very good with Burrow.
Yes, he was. 49ers Kyle Shanahan is opening the notion of rotating quarterbacks, Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo. They both got first-team reps in practice this week. Lance could be used like Taysom Hill was used last year. Still expect Jimmy Garoppolo to start, but Lance could be eased into the NFL in this fashion with spot duty and perhaps closer to the goal line, which would be bad for fantasy owners, frankly, because that would make both of them unstartable. Next up, the Cardinals.
Cardinals activated Andy Isabella from the reserve COVID list, but who really cares at this point? He might not even make the team. A former second-round pick a couple of years ago by Arizona, behind Hopkins, but A.J. Green, Rondale Moore, and Christian Kirk all well ahead of Andy Isabella, who's on the roster bubble.
Okay, Scott, the Jags.
Trevor Lawrence has been named the starter, so Gardner Minshew can finally go to the bathroom. ETN injury opens the door for Chenault to get work in maybe that Harvin role that Urban had planned for ETN. Might be some extra work there for Chenault.
I hope so. He has slipped quite a bit in drafts.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Baltimore Ravens, where Marquise Brown is still not practicing 4 weeks after his hamstring injury. His status for the opener is unclear at this point. We already know Rashad Bateman's going to miss week one. Sammy Watkins missed practice this week with an undisclosed injury. Miles Boykin has missed weeks of practice with his own hamstring injury. It's been bad. Lamar Jackson in practice is taking first-team reps with Devin Duvernay and Tylan Wallace. I don't know who that is, and I do this for a living.
What? Oklahoma State?
Yeah, Tylan Wallace.
Yes.
Okay.
Some people pronounce it Tylan. I think it is Tylan.
Tylan?
Yeah.
Tylan.
Yeah, it's spelled T-Y-L-N.
Yeah, he'll be Tylan your fantasy team. Let's go to the Bears.
That is me. Yes. I don't want to go to the Bears because they're making the most moronic move of all time by not starting Justin Fields in week one. They've already decided that will be Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
The end. I mean, how long until we see Justin Fields, though?
Well, week two. Week two.
Okay, hopefully.
Yeah, I think
hopefully quarter two of week one.
Yeah, he's going off the board too late. Let's go to our final team, the Los Angeles Chargers. Scott.
And possibly one of the more important ones. According to reports from a ton of sources, CBS, Athletic, Sports Illustrated, a bunch of beat reporters, this is how the backfield is looking. Eckler's the starter. Justin Jackson is his main backup.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly and Roundtree will be used in short yardage and goal line for the team.
Oh, we don't want it. We do not want to hear anybody but Austin Eckler getting used at the goal line.
That very much tracks with their skill sets and history, too.
I know, unfortunately. I was hoping a new coaching staff would see it differently. Austin Eckler, you've seen it. You've seen him shirtless. Dude's built. He can run at the stripe. Mm-hmm. Yep. Let him.
I'll believe it when I see it, or don't see it. Them using a healthy Eckler at the goal line. We'll just see about that.
When we come back, inside the five-yard line, we'll go through, we just ran through 32 teams, we're going to run through 32 teams again and tell you what you need to know about what your teams do inside the five-yard line when we return to Fantasy Football Weekly.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian, Scott Fish, and Brian Johnson with you. If you would like to use my personal cheat sheet at your draft, it's free at guillotineleagues.com. Gentlemen, as you know, for years, I have done deep dives on team tendencies from inside the five-yard line. And casual listeners may not realize just how crucial this information is. Why should you care about what happens inside the five-yard line? After all, there are 95 other yards, and those count too. Here's why you should care. Think for a moment about how many touchdowns you think were scored in the NFL from inside the five-yard line last year.
We call this the infrared zone, too.
Yeah, we like to call this the infrared zone. So put a number in your head. How many touchdowns were scored from inside the five-yard line last year? Do you think it was more than 100?
Yes.
Do you think it was more than 200?
Yes.
Do you think it could be more than 300 touchdowns scored in the NFL from inside the five-yard line last year?
Because I've been at training camp year over year? Yes, I do.
Cheater.
Last year, 629 touchdowns were scored from inside the five-yard line.
See, I wouldn't even think that many touchdowns are scored in the NFL.
Period, right? I know.
It's crazy.
You need to have a part of those. These are the easy touchdowns. The inside the five are the easy ones. Guys who have to score from distance, and maybe we were just talking about Austin Ekeler last segment. If Austin Ekeler has to score from distance, that materially hurts his fantasy production. 628 touchdowns. We care. So we're going to give you the one thing you need to know from each of the teams from inside the five-yard line based a lot on what the tendencies are from last season. Let's begin with Brian and the Carolina Panthers.
Well, as we all remember, Carolina basically sans Christian McCaffrey last year, played two or three games, but still Carolina had the third highest rushing ratio inside the five last year. Teddy Bridgewater only attempted three passes from inside the five.
Which is unreal to only throw three passes inside the five of the year. And Teddy can throw that far.
Yes, he can. But, of course, a new quarterback in Sam Darnold, a new end zone weapon in Dan Arnold. And Terrace Marshall as well is a serious threat in the red zone. So maybe Carolina throws a little more. But last year, very run-heavy. And, of course, as of right now, Christian McCaffrey back. So lots of opportunities for CMC look like they are on the horizon. So I think you should take them high in your drafts this year.
Scott,
what do you guys think of that?
How about the Las Vegas Raiders from inside the five-yard line?
This one's really interesting because Jacobs and Drake were both top five in carries inside the five and inside the 10 last year, but on different teams.
Mm-hmm.
Jacobs has the better build for that kind of role, but Drake was much more effective than Jacobs was last year. I think we're going to see how it shakes out. I would expect Jacobs to keep that role because he's been in that role in that offense already, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, Jacobs, I think, converted
28%,
like 28% of his carries inside the five were touchdowns. You want to be at 50%.
You want to know what Drake was? 43%.
That was Drake?
Yep.
Yeah, that's better. Maybe
it's better.
It's better. It's not great, but it's better. Okay, let's go to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers threw the most passes from inside the five. Get this. We just talked about Teddy threw three passes from inside the five. Aaron Rodgers threw 30 times from inside the five and scored 20 touchdowns. He had more touchdowns from inside the five than Teddy Bridgewater had, period. Devontae Adams led all receivers in targets, receptions, and touchdowns from inside the five. Let's head to Washington next. Brian?
Washington. Antonio Gibson scored on half of his carries inside the five last year. As
good.
You guys were just saying,
50%,
a very good rate. And Washington had the fourth highest rush rate from inside the five. That is very good when it comes to rostering Antonio Gibson. You're going to get a lot of opportunities inside the five.
Next up, let's go to Buffalo.
So the carries inside the five were split very evenly between Moss and Allen. Not Singletary.
Yes.
Let's keep him out of the equation. Moss and Allen. Allen with a much higher conversion rate. But with that new $258 million deal, the question now becomes, do the Bills continue to allow those runs?
Yeah.
Do they allow him to run in 7-8 times? Or do they try, or do they, you know, do they allow him because that's what they paid him to do? That's what works. Or do they, you know, try to protect their investment?
I'd like to think they'll try Zach Moss early in the season and see if Zach Moss can be effective at the goal line. And if he is, keep using him that way.
Yeah.
And keep the miles and all the tackles and all the hits off of their star and now very expensive quarterback. For the Texans, Deshaun Watson's probably out of the mix. He takes 7 inside the 5 rushes with him. And so you ask, will runners get more chances then? Well, David Johnson was really bad last year. He turned 12 carries into just 4 scores. Since not David Johnson, Philip Lindsay's not really built for goal line use, so does it go to Mark Ingram? Is that possible?
Ugh.
Could he be a dark horse to come out of this thing with goal line carries?
The Houston backfield just doesn't exist in my mind. I'm just not going to acknowledge any of those.
Let's instead acknowledge Tampa Bay. That's another frustrating backfield.
Yeah, is it Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette at the goal line? So let's look at last year's data. They both had 8 carries from inside the five.
Mm-hmm.
They both scored 5 touchdowns. So,
all right, so no help there.
No help there at all.
Okay.
Gio Bernard now in town, unlikely a goal line threat, though. So I don't know. Pick your poison between Rojo and Leo. But
see, what you do is you take your 25th anniversary Fantasy Football Weekly
coin
that
there you, go.
You definitely should have purchased if you did, and flip that thing. Figure it out.
Scott, let's try Cleveland. What do we need to know about their tendencies inside the five?
Yeah, let's keep that coin out.
Yeah, all right.
And let's talk about how Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, within a couple carries of each other, and they had almost exactly the same amount of carries and conversion rate. So, and I don't see any change. I don't see any change there at all.
Oh,
I think
why change it?
It's going to slightly lean Chubb, but that's what it's going to be. If Chubb marches down the field, he needs a break. Hunt, they think Hunt is perfectly capable.
And he is.
Yeah.
For the Colts, Nyheim Hines got a depressing 7 carries inside the five last year, which is inexplicable. But he only scored 2 times from inside the five. And once Jonathan Taylor went on his December run, Nyheim Hines got no carries inside the five. So hopefully that was all mirage, and we're not going to see Nyheim Hines there, and Jonathan Taylor's going to just house all those inside the five carries. Let's go next to the Detroit Lions, Brian.
Adrian Peterson and Kerryon Johnson now gone from Detroit. They have vacated 18 carries from inside the 5 yard
line.
That's a lot for sure. And DeAndre Swift was very successful last year, scoring on 6 of his 9 runs from inside the five last year. But as we talked about last segment, he's looking very iffy for week one, maybe week two and beyond. So again, Jamal Williams, Jermar Jefferson, even bump them up your boards.
All right. Scott, let's go to the Jets next.
Can we not? I'm just kidding. The Jets only had 14 total carries inside the five last year, which is
not a
little bit hilarious. There's only one team worse, and I'll talk about them in a bit. But Ty Johnson is the only running back on the team who had a single carry inside the five last year, who's back with the team. He's currently running as the top back, but I would expect Michael Carter to be able to take that role.
For the Chiefs, they're all of their runners together, all of the runners on roster, combined for two touchdowns from inside the five-yard line.
Yeah,
you know how hard it is to do that when you are the highest, I think they were the second highest scoring team last year?
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's going to change.
It has to change, right? But will it change via Clyde Edwards-Helaire or somebody else? Let's go to the Seahawks. Brian?
Chris Carson, since 2018, has accumulated 33 carries from inside the five for the Seahawks.
Nice.
All other Seattle runners during that time span have combined for 22. So
right.
Carson is the guy.
He is.
He just needs – maybe if Chris Carson –
nobody wants him.
Maybe if they had Chris Carson instead of Marshawn Lynch in that Super Bowl, they would have given Chris Carson the ball at the goal line instead of deciding to lose the game instead. But again, Carson only six carries from inside the five last year, only played 12 games. He's got to stay healthy, but if he does, he is the guy for Seattle.
Scott, next up, the Broncos.
Much like the Jets, the Broncos only ran it 13 times inside the five last year. They just did not get down to the stripe to run the ball that much. Melvin Gordon had over half of them. He's still there. Javonte Williams is very well suited for that role.
Very
That's
well
perfect
suited.
For
yes,
him.
Yes, it is. Oh, I
would expect possibly a split early on, but if Javonte Williams proves effective, he could take that.
Let's hope so. For the Rams, since Sean McVay took over in 2017, the Rams have the most rushing plays and the most rushing touchdowns from inside the five. That bodes well for Daryl Henderson. We're going to talk maybe Sony Michel. I don't want to tip my hand yet, but that's this topic's going to come up again later. Next up, Brian, the Eagles.
Sort of a small sample size for Jalen Hurts last year, but he only had one carry from inside the five for negative 2 yards, so he doesn't seem like a huge threat to his running backs, primarily Miles Sanders, as you know how Josh Allen is a threat to Zach Moss or something along those lines. Miles Sanders only had four carries inside the five last year. He was banged up for a good amount of the season, but scored twice, 50% clip. He should be the guy inside the five, but again, not too worried about Hurts taking those goal line touches.
That's
from Sanders.
Scott, let's go to the Dolphins next.
So last year, Miami really used a one-back approach. When it was Ahmed in, he got almost all the goal line work. When it was Gaskin, he got almost all the goal line work.
When you say in, you mean who was the lead back that game? Who was the healthy lead back in that game?
The healthy lead back. They took a one-back approach. The lead back of that game was the one they used at the stripe, and it appears to be Gaskin's job right now. Both Gaskin and Ahmed are getting work with the first team, but it really does appear to be Gaskin's job.
In Minnesota last year, no team ran the ball more than the Minnesota Vikings. 38 carries from inside the five-yard line last year. And that's a lot of why Dalvin Cook is so safe in fantasy leagues. I'll note, Adam Thielen, get this. He scored on 7 of 8 targets from inside the five. That's an amazing rate. And it goes to show that they can continue to use Thielen that way. Next up, let's go to the Dallas Cowboys, Brian.
I'm not going to look into too much what happened inside the five last year because the Cowboys' offensive line was basically non-existent. They were all gone. All the regulars were not playing for the most part, but they all make their return this year. Left tackle Tyron Smith comes back after playing just 154 snaps. Right tackle Lyle Collins missed all of 2020 due to hip surgery. He is back. It'll still be Zeke at the stripe. He didn't have the most success last year, but again, the line was not in full form. Tony Pollard, not so much a concern at the goal line, and I don't think they want Dak Prescott handle many goal line touches coming off a shoulder injury. So
no,
I'm sleeping on Zeke a little too much. Maybe we'll see. But
all right, final one for this segment. Scott, tell people about what the Patriots are like inside the 5 yard line. What's the one thing they need to know?
The Patriots are very much Cam Newton based. So if he doesn't get the start, I would expect the big bulldozing Ramondre Stevenson to get it. Unless
Damian Harris is built for that too.
He is. He got some work there last year, but it could be a split and it could be gross. But it could be even grosser if Bill Belichick decides he wants to bring Cam Newton in that area.
Oh, wouldn't that be a disaster if he brings in Cam at the goal line? Oh, that'd be so frustrating. Cam had last year 22 carries from inside the five. only two players, both running backs, had more carries from inside the five than the Patriots quarterback.
That's where I was going. It was basically all Cam.
Yes, it was all Cam last year. Let's hope he is a total non-factor this year. When we come back, we'll continue telling you the one thing you need to know about team tendencies from inside the five as Fantasy Football Weekly continues.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, GuillotineLeagues.com, Brian Johnson, GuillotineLeagues.com, and Scott Fish is our third co-host today. This is segment number two of What's Happening Inside the Five-Yard Line. What is the one thing you need to know from every team from inside the five? There were a whopping 628 touchdowns scored from inside the five last year. You need to know because we love easy touchdowns, and those are easy touchdowns. Breaking news, we like touchdowns in fantasy football. I know, hard to believe, right? Before we jump into the final set of teams that we want to talk about from inside the five, a reminder that it's a perfect time to join a Guillotine League. As you probably know, 18 teams start the season. There's no head-to-head. And instead of teams playing each other, the low team that scores each week gets cut, and all their players go to the waiver wire. And there, everybody else, it's pandemonium as you're feasting on an entire draft of players. Might be Alvin Kamara, Josh Allen, Mike Evans, Chris Carson, Kenny Golladay, all hitting the waiver wire in 1 week. It's crazy. That's the premise of the Guillotine League. All you have to do is not be last in any given week, and the last team standing wins the whole thing. You can go to guillotineleagues.com to find private leagues, public leagues, whatever prize level you want to play for, all available at guillotineleagues.com.
Can we talk about the new Super Chop format very quickly?
Sure. Let's do it
real quick. It's a smaller league, 12-team league, and you do your draft, and you survive through week 11, and then you advance to the playoffs against 11 other finalists, and you do a brand new draft for the playoff period in November, which is pretty sweet. There's a $100 Super Chop contest in the lobby, and I highly suggest
$6,000 grand prize. That's our high stakes version of Guillotine Leagues. Let's go to, I believe the team we left off on was the New York Giants from inside the 5 yard line. Scott,
That's me.
No, it's Brian. Sorry, Brian.
Unfortunately, I got to talk about the Giants again. Only the Jets threw fewer passes inside the five than the Giants did last year. And of course, Saquon Barkley basically missed the whole season. But there was success inside the five for the Giants. Evan Engram, one carry for a touchdown. Devonta Freeman, one carry for a touchdown. Deion Lewis, three carries for two touchdowns. Alfred Morris, one carry for a touchdown.
Gross.
So if Barkley stays healthy or gets healthy,
gets all of that work,
he could be looking at a nice season. But another guy I'm very worried about, we'll talk about him a little later as well.
All right. Next, Scott. The Tennessee Titans, Scott.
Oh, the Titans are easy. Henry got over 70% of the carries.
Yep.
Converted over 50% of those. It's all him.
How did he not have like 98% of the carries?
70% seems light.
Yeah, I know.
It really does.
Well, Jonnu Smith was getting them. That's why.
Oh, yeah. Jonnu Smith did get some. Oh, yeah. And then Tannehill probably got some. Yeah. I don't think Darrington Evans got any.
No. He didn't get
probably like
anywhere.
McNichols or something.
The Saints from inside the five, we still have to sweat Taysom Hill. Even though Jameis Winston is going to be the starter, even when he wasn't starting, he was still getting carries inside the five. And last year, Taysom Hill had 9 carries inside the five. He scored 6 times. That's a good return, good efficiency. And unfortunately, that's what we're stuck with Taysom Hill. And that might continue to be a problem for Jameis Winston owners. Next up, Brian, the Atlanta Falcons.
Last year, Todd Gurley had the 7th most rushes inside the five, 17. Scored just 6 times, though. That's one of the reasons he's not in town anymore in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But will Mike Davis have more success? I don't think so, because now Kyle Pitts is in town, and all they're going to do is throw to him inside the five all day long. That's my prediction.
Scott, Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, so on the Bengals, Gio Bernard actually led the team in red zone carries last year. But remember that Joe
Mixon
was
missed
out
a lot of the season, like, but still.
Most of the season. The year before, Mixon had like nearly 20 carries inside the five. I assume that comes back. They drafted 3 linemen. They added Riley Reiff. The offense should be better. He should have more opportunities. I think he's going to be the main guy.
For the Steelers, James Conner and Benny Snell combined for 26 carries. That is a lot. 26 carries would have led the entire league last year in carries inside the 5-yard line. Connor is gone. Snell stinks. If Najee Harris gets those same 26 carries and he converts on the number we like to use, the 50% number, which is you're trying to get, that's 13 touchdowns just from inside the 5.
Feels like a good amount.
That would be a very good amount for Najee Harris. Next up, the Arizona Cardinals, Brian.
So Kenyon Drake last year with the Cardinals had 22 carries from inside the five.
That's a lot.
He's no longer in town, of course, so they're all going to go to Chase Edmonds, right? Mm-hmm. Who we'll see. Edmonds had 1 carry last year, so they clearly favored Drake over Edmonds. Now James Conner.
James Conner, right?
I guess, but it's even James Conner is not very much of a threat in any regard anymore, so... A lot of opportunities there for Arizona, and there's Eno Benjamin who's still clinging to life.
No, he's no threat.
Hopefully Edmonds gets a little some chances and can convert on some, but a lot of opportunity.
I was just going to say that Chase Edmonds, that was actually his only carry in his career inside the five, was the one last year.
One he had last year.
And James,
did
James
he score?
Conner, no.
Okay.
And James Conner, he got minus 1 yard. James Conner with Pittsburgh was an historically great short yardage and inside the five runner.
Yeah.
Like he's like top 5.
Until last year, probably, yes.
Yeah. Yep.
For the 49ers, Brandon Ayuk tied among all receivers for the 2nd most targets, and he scored the 3rd most times. Inexplicably, as a side note, George Kittle, get this. For everything that George Kittle is, his entire career, they've thrown to him 9 times inside the 5. That's it. Which is, that, you know, if they decide to use Kittle that way, it gives them a lot more upside.
How many times?
Oh, geez. I'm embarrassed.
9.
You don't have to do it because I'm pretty sure he had a couple called back.
He may have. He may have.
Scores.
It's a horrible misuse of George Kittle.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the bigger point here, Brandon Ayuk could give you a lot of safety if they continue using him at the goal line.
You know who's really safe at the goal line?
Tell me.
James Robinson for the Jags.
I bet he is.
83% of the carries inside the 5 for Jacksonville last year were James Robinson's. That's way more than Derrick Henry, even. Travis Etienne is out. Who's going to get him? Carlos Hyde?
Yeah.
And here's a fun fact. James Robinson scored on every single one of his carries inside the 5 last year.
That's nuts.
All 5 of them.
Five out of 5.
It's a 5 out of 5.
That's impressive.
But still.
I probably have him underranked now that Etienne is out. Right now... In standard non-guillotine leagues, I have him ranked 17. Mm-hmm. He should probably be ahead of guys like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's
in a guillotine league.
Yes, in a guillotine league. Yes. Let's see. Brian, I believe you are up next with the Bears, your final team. What are they doing inside the five-yard line?
Last year, David Montgomery got 14 of the 15 running back carries inside the five for Chicago. Only converted them into four touchdowns, though, so not a lot of success for Montgomery. I'm not too worried about Damian Williams stealing goal line touches from Montgomery, though. Perhaps Justin Fields, though. Once he becomes a starter,
it could be a problem.
He could have that Josh Allen vulture-like effect on Montgomery. And just keep your eye on Khalil Herbert, rookie running back, who has impressed in camp and is kind of built for goal line work. So he could be a vulture in the making as well.
Khalil Herbert's looked good.
Yeah.
He's looked really good. Mm-hmm. And you know what's looked really bad? That Bears offensive line, awful.
Yeah.
And remember, they put a high second-round pick, or they had a second-round pick, into Tevin Jenkins. He was a dominating right tackle. They were going to play him at left tackle, but now he's had surgery and he might miss the whole season. This offensive line is not good. And ultimately, that's going to be a contributor to getting Justin Fields on the field sooner. So, I mean, that'll be the upside. But I'm nervous about Montgomery and others in that offense because of that line. Scott, your final team is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yes. You mentioned how before Nyheim Hines had only had two conversions out of seven attempts.
Yeah, it's
terrible.
Not good.
Austin Ekeler has converted two out of his last nine attempts over the last 2 years. Mm. Also not very good. Last year, he was only given two attempts. Kelly had five. Balazs had six. Herbert had seven. We mentioned before, beat reporters have stated it's likely going to be Kelly and Roundtree's role. At least that's where we're sitting right now.
So this Roundtree guy looked good, too, in preseason action. And, you know, I'm trying to balance this. You know, we're not trying to go crazy over all these depth chart guys who have big games against third and fourth stringers. Roundtree looks like a player. And by the way, while I'm watching that game, my wife's sitting on the couch next to me. She decided to look up the etymology of Roundtree.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a British term for, like, a tree that is out, like, in the middle of nowhere in a field. But that's like the tree that's around, and people would point at the tree, and, you know, everybody knew that tree back in the ye olden days.
Is that without the D, though?
Without the D.
Okay.
That's because that was part of why we looked it up, like round tree with no D. It's like Terrace Marshall. So, yeah, we looked it up, and there you go. Now, a little factoid.
Nice.
Round tree. Last team is the Ravens. Many believe Lamar Jackson steals touchdown runs, but that's not true. Last year from inside the five-yard line, the Baltimore running backs ran the ball 23 times. Lamar Jackson ran three times. That's it. Just three times. And that brings me back to Gus Edwards, my guy for this season, my favorite sleeper, and this is part of the reason why. Double-digit touches from inside the five-yard line, built for goal line use. Yes, J.K. Dobbins is going to get work there too. And yes, I'd rather have J.K. Dobbins. But J.K. Dobbins costs you a second-rounder. And I'm not even saying don't pay that. But Gus Edwards right now, 11th round average draft position. He finished as running back 27 last year. Going up the board right now as running back 45. And there's no reason. Mark Ingram's gone. It's a two-headed backfield, not a three-headed backfield now. There is no reason not to take Gus Edwards where he's going, if not earlier.
Mm.
Lamar Jackson does not steal as much stuff as you might be inclined to think that he does. Scott, we've got about 1 minute left.
Sure.
Tell me about some ideas for spicing up a live draft. Now that we're drafting in person again.
Yeah, so my wife sent me a picture of this league that started just to had a live draft the other week called the Mounds View Boys, and they're like 14-year-old kids. They got all dressed up, and see that picture?
I love it because it's a bunch of kids playing with other kids.
Awesome. Yeah, and it made me think, what can you do to spice up your draft? You can like have walk-up music, have a commissioner announce the picks. You can have a rivalry draft and choose rivals.
Yeah.
Get a live auctioneer if it's an auction draft. 100yardrush.com. You can do the draft order. You can watch little characters run across the screen and root for it. Or any other kind of contest for your draft order, like a poker tournament beforehand, a golf tournament, video games. You could have a video games tournament. Anything like that. Those are simple things you can do.
All right. I love it. All great ideas to bring to your live draft. Fantasy Football Weekly, hour number two, comes back in a second.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian, guillotineleagues.com. Ryan Johnson, also guillotineleagues.com. Our associated podcast is called Chop, a Guillotine League podcast, available wherever you love to get your podcasts, and especially the iHeartRadio app. Scott Fish joins as well. It is time for a segment we like to call Three Tough Questions. And as is the tradition, we start with...
Tough question number one.
How much does Sony Michel's arrival impact Daryl Henderson? None, some, or a lot? We start with Scott.
So my initial thought here was some. I mean, they watched Henderson for a year. They had him on the team. McVay had him on the team for a year. Then they decided, you know what? After watching this guy, we're going to draft a running back in the second round, and we're going to give him the lead role late in the season. They may have tried to see what they could do, but then, you know, he broke his thumb, and so they felt New England had an excess. They made a safe play. I think the answer is some, but then Sony Michel took number 14 as a running back, which so now I'm thinking there's really no concern at all. I guess I'm going to stick with some, but that number choice is terrible.
Okay. I'm not used to the numbers yet. It is weird. Brian, how much does Sony Michel's arrival impact Daryl Henderson? None, some, or a lot?
I'm going to go with none because that's basically what Sean McVay just said recently, that it has no effect on Daryl Henderson's usage. I'm more concerned with Xavier Jones when it comes to taking work from Daryl Henderson. We've seen what Sony Michel has to offer. First off, he's kind of injury-plagued. He's only played one full season out of his three. Mm-hmm. He doesn't catch the ball. He has 26 catches across three seasons, so no threat with third-down work. And he's like a 4 yards per carry, just meh runner that I'm quite shocked that the Rams traded for him. I think the Patriots are probably going to cut him. They're so loaded at running back. But no effect for me with Sony Michel in town now. Sony Walkmangelis.
Sony Walkman. Walkmangelis?
Walkmangelis.
I like Sony Walkman. Thank you. Right.
I like to push the envelope.
We already had it perfect.
All right.
The correct answer is none. The thumb injury that Daryl Henderson has ultimately will not be a factor, even if it is at the very beginning of the season. And let's remember that Daryl Henderson wasn't going to be a workhorse anyway. You know, right when Cam Akers went down, Sean McVay said, we got to really monitor his workload. He was not going to be a workload workhorse guy anyhow. And here comes Sony Walkman, a marginal talent who doesn't catch and gets hurt constantly. The guy he really hurts is Xavier Jones. Yeah. And maybe to a lesser extent, Jake Funk, Jake Funk was going to be in the mix here at some point. That's it. You know, now, that's not to say Sony Walkman will have no fantasy value. He may be a spot starter, but I still think this is going to shape up like 14 to 16 touches a game for Daryl Henderson. Mm-hmm. Sony Michel's going to be like 6-8. It'll still be like a 2-1 ratio, I believe.
He'll get those three touchdown games that'll just piss all Henderson owners off.
I hope not. I hope not.
Tough question number two.
Carson Wentz is trending towards a week one start. Does he belong in rosters in a one quarterback league? Brian.
So, Charge, you and I just did a 20-team live auction.
Yes, we did.
You can only have one quarterback on roster, and it's a team quarterback. We don't have to get into that, but the Colts quarterback was not selected.
No, it's not one of the
among all 20 teams.
Correct.
Now, in a standard one quarterback league, your odds are you're going to have a backup quarterback, and that's where Wentz would fall. He was going right around quarterback 20 before the injury. Then he got hurt. ADP plummeted. It's on the rise a little bit, but I'm not wasting a roster spot on Wentz as a backup. He's not a starter in a one-quarterback league. We're not going to go down that path. But the offense is not very exciting, and it's going to revolve around Jonathan Taylor, and they're going to play good defense. So for me, no, I'll stream someone when I need a backup. I'm not going to sit on Wentz because I just don't see a ceiling there at all.
Okay. Scott?
No. No. I'll just say no.
That's it.
Even fully healthy, he was barely a streaming option in one QB leagues. Carson Wentz, I don't care that he's trending for the week one start. He does not belong on one quarterback league rosters. I do a ton of one quarterback mocks and drafts. I was in a draft last night with A.J. Dillon of the Green Bay Packers.
Name dropper.
By the way, Brian, he took Kyle Pitts.
He's already one of the best.
Just
A.J. Dillon, that is.
But in that draft, 12-teamer, nobody took Carson Wentz. I don't even think he was on anyone's radar. He's not rosterable at that point. It needs to be super flex.
Well, I was just in a draft with Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise said he loved my team and he graded my team an A+. Carson Wentz is, I'm good. Even though you're probably right, you're wrong.
What?
In many metrics, the Colts have the easiest passing schedule from October through the rest of the year, including Warren Sharp acknowledging as much, talking about as much on a recent tweet. Wentz is surrounded by viable targets. He can throw to Pittman, Hilton, Campbell, tight ends who can catch, running backs who catch.
Yep.
He's got a ton of targets.
Yep.
He'll enjoy the best pass blocking of his entire career, other than maybe when he was very, very first in Philadelphia and that offensive line is good. Unlike the jailbreaks he was subjected to last year, he's still got good mobility and always has. Now, the foot injury might dampen that a bit this year, but if the mobility comes back, he helps you out more than I think people realize that way too. I think he does belong on one quarterback league rosters. Am I going to start him every week? Nope. But I get the feeling when I hit those bye weeks, he's exactly the kind of guy I'm going to want to inject. Or if my quarterback goes down, I'll be glad I have him.
I mean, I was in on Wentz early in the season. He's going back to Reich, who he had his MVP caliber season up until he got injured for the last 4 weeks. I was very in on that. It's just as I watch these drafts play out, you know, when I want to grab my second quarterback, I want it to be Lance or Fields or guys like that.
No, I'd rather have those guys too. But who says you're only drafting two quarterbacks?
Who's drafting three quarterbacks in a one quarterback league?
Can be done. It's not illegal. You're the one who loves your 23
in super flex. In super flex, I'll take
you. You love your big roster.
Tough question number three.
Who is the single most valuable receiver in dynasty or empire formats? I think we're on Scott.
We're on me. Let's start here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with CeeDee Lamb. Him growing in that offense with Dak for many years, I'm a big fan of. I've always been a big fan of the young wide receiver growing with it. You know, the young stud quarterback. Most dynasty ranks have Jefferson and Brown and Metcalf above them, but who's going to be Jefferson's quarterback in a couple years? We don't know. We don't know who that's going to be. Is Russ going to stay elite and efficient, as efficient as he's been? And DK has disappeared at times. Speaking of efficiency, Brown has not just Brown, but both Brown, AJ Brown, and Ryan Tannehill have been insane. Efficient on low passing volume. What if that goes away? And here's another thing to note. What if Zeke starts to decline and they have to pass more over the next couple of years and Zeke goes away? I'm taking CeeDee Lamb in that.
Okay. Brian, who is the single most valuable receiver in dynasty or empire formats?
I had to go with AJ Brown. I did think of CeeDee Lamb too, but AJ Brown just turned 24 in June. Last year played 12 or 13 full healthy games, only saw 100 targets, like 102 targets, still had over 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns. Theoretically, he could see twice as many targets somewhere.
200 target year.
It could happen. Well, now that there's an extra game, it's certainly again. So basically, A.J. Brown, he's just scratching the surface, and he gets 150 targets. That is way more feasible, right, Charles? You can get with me on
yes,
that.
Yes, I can.
We are talking.
Now we're in the realm of
talking 20 touchdown range, receiving touchdowns for A.J. Brown in a full healthy season on the horizon.
The correct answer, the player I would not trade in a dynasty or empire league for any other receiver is CeeDee Lamb. 22 years old, 2 years
younger. He's the youngest of all those four.
And I love A.J. Brown, by the way. I love A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. But CeeDee Lamb, 22 years old. You hit on the single biggest point. He has an excellent young quarterback in Dak Prescott, who, let's remember, just signed a 4-year deal. So we know you got 4 years of Dak Prescott quarterbacking. That is a long time in your dynasty or empire league. He's already flashing greatness. He did it last year. You're seeing it on Hard Knocks if you're watching Hard Knocks. Gallup is gone next year.
Yeah.
And that's another big consideration for me. Gallup's going to take 100 targets with him, and they'll probably just move like Cedric Wilson up a spot. I don't think whoever goes there next, I just think there's going to be enough vacated targets to move CeeDee Lamb into a top five position on my cheat sheet at this time next year.
Now, you asked the single most valuable receiver.
Receiver.
You did it. Now, I wanted to say Kyle Pitts, but I'm so concerned that he gets designated as a wide receiver in future years. I didn't go that way, but that is really my answer.
Gallup was my last line there, but also CeeDee Lamb stats with Dak. 5 games, 5 for 59, 6 for 106, 5 for 65, 5 for 79, 8 for 124.
I know. And that was the first 5 games of his NFL career.
That's like a 1,300-yard pace.
Yes. I love CeeDee.
That's unreal.
I love CeeDee.
The
Lamb.
Raiders should have taken CeeDee Lamb over Henry Ruggs. They're going to dread the
God, what a epic blood. Or Justin Jefferson.
And you can spell his name with emojis, a CD and a lamb. There you go. That's all that matters.
It's so cute. That counts as well. I rarely talk about my own leagues, but I'm in a dynasty league where I was able to get Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb in the draft last year.
Oh, boy.
I traded away Justin Jefferson and kept CeeDee Lamb.
Just because they didn't get a log on the team.
Exactly. When we come back, the blacklist. Guys I will not draft, and our other co-hosts as well. Who are the guys we're avoiding in our drafts? And you should too when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. If you haven't tried a Guillotine League, we encourage you to learn a little bit more. GuillotineLeagues.com. 18 teams start the season, no head-to-head. The low-scoring team each week gets cut, and all their players go to the waiver wire where pandemonium ensues.
And all the players we're about to mention are going to be the ones
It could be, because this whole segment is geared around the players we don't like and aren't drafting.
Right.
So these are the guys we think that are going to get you chopped early. In the Guillotine format, all you have to do every week is not finish last. You don't have to be best, but can you not be last every week? That's it. Last team standing wins the whole thing.
If you ain't last, you're first.
Right. That's it. You ain't last, you're first.
If you ain't last, you're first.
That's the guillotine. That is the guillotine league right there. Let's talk about the blacklist, the guys that we will not draft. And we'll each give a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, and a tight end. Some cases, we may actually disagree on these things, but it's personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
Let's begin at the quarterback position. Scott, who's your first player you will not draft?
Quarterback position, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson, going as QB6 in the mid-fifth. It's mostly price tag. I understand him being ranked there in the QB6, 7, 8 range.
Yes.
I think I have him ranked as my QB8, but it's fine. I'm fine with that. My problem is that team wants to run a lot. He's been solid because of his efficiency, and he falls off for half the season, seemingly every year. He's only topped 400 yards rushing twice in the last 5 years, and that declines in running quarterback as they get older.
Yeah.
So don't expect that to keep him up. But he didn't top 250 yards in his final 8 games last year. 16 touchdowns in those 8 games total, and 4 were against the Jets. So most of the games, you're not gaining a lot of points from him in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
That happened the year before, where he only topped 250 yards once in his final 7 and threw just 9 touchdowns. And weirdly, earlier in his career, he was a notorious slow starter for the first half of the year.
So
he's a half-year starter. I can't take that there. Too high.
I'm with you on that. I have Russell Wilson on no rosters.
Me either.
Not one.
Mm-mm.
Brian.
Dak Prescott going way too high for me at quarterback 5 right about now. I know he's been fully cleared now by the Dallas medical staff, but I don't really trust the Dallas medical staff. Jerry Jones seems like a guy who will throw his grandchildren into a volcano, sacrifice them into a volcano to win another Super Bowl. The Russian Dak back, who is not going to be, speaking of rushing, not many rush attempts in the future for Dak Prescott, I don't think. I think he's going to be a different quarterback.
Agreed.
In that regard.
Yep.
And he's just going to be more of a pure passer. He's a great passer. He's got great weapons, of course, but I can get pure passers with great weapons later in my draft, like Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford even later. So Dak can certainly pay off that QB5 ADP, but just too much risk for me there. And one of the deepest quarterback classes in fantasy football that I can remember in many years.
You guys picked high-end quarterbacks that you won't take, in part, and I'm sure eventually, if they were available in your draft, you would take both of those guys. The guy that I've not ended up in any draft is Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
And the overriding premise is I'd rather get out a year too early on a player at the very, very bitter end of his career than a year too late. Now, in fairness to Ben, I think he's looked fine in the preseason, but it's his 18th year. He's teetering on cooked. He played badly for stretches of last year, and the arm was clearly degraded from earlier versions of what we had seen from Ben. He didn't throw deep like he used to. He had the 5th shortest average intended air yards last year. Mm. When we think of Ben, we think of the big statue sitting in the pocket, maybe sliding a little bit and then throwing lasers downfield. That's not who Ben was, at least not last year. He had the shortest time to pass last season, and the offensive line is worse this year. I'm very worried about that. So for me, there's just a lot of worry about where Ben is in his career arc and where he is in this offense. Even though surrounded by receiving weapons, I love the addition of Najee Harris. It'll take a heat off of Ben. I'm not saying he's going to have a bad year, but I'm, you know, for where he's getting taken, I'm rolling the dice on other guys. Let's continue with the blacklist. Guys we will not draft. Let's move to the running back position. Scott, who won't you draft?
Similar to your Ben pick, David Johnson is just a guy I will not have on a single team. Philip Lindsay is running as the starter. Lindsay and Mark Ingram are listed as the starters, yet David Johnson is going as RB39 in the 9th round, and people are drafting him as the starter just because
ridiculous
name value, maybe, I guess? I don't know.
It's laziness.
Yeah, that's Philip Lindsay. I'm okay with taking Philip Lindsay 4 rounds later because he's going in the 13th. I don't even love that because we don't know what the goal line work's going to be. That team is going to always be in a negative game script. But David Johnson in the 9th is just crazy.
Just don't take any Texans.
Yeah,
running.
Really, really.
Or Texans, also known as Texans.
I like Brandon Cooks.
All right. That's fair.
I reached around on Brandon Cook's list.
I'll take Nico Collins at the
last
end.
Nico Collins. I know. I'm interested in Nico Collins at the last pick.
They'll be throwing. We just don't know who's going to be throwing, but they'll be throwing down in Texas.
Yep.
That's for sure.
Houston. You'll go Nico Collins. I'll go Byron Pringle.
Okay,
the last
there
pick
we go.
Of my draft to there bring him go. Back up again, because apparently I've got to be the only guy who's talking about Byron Pringle. All right, who's the running back you will not draft, Brian?
Even though a couple months ago he was basically going as a top five, top six overall pick, and now his stock has plummeted to the mid-second round, I'm still not taking Saquon Barkley there in the mid-second. I don't know if I'd take him even if he came back to me in the third. I just don't trust him at this point. I don't trust the knee. Unlikely he's going to start the season, at least at 100%. Certainly don't trust the offensive line in New Jersey for the Giants. Going into this year, Pro Football Focus has them ranked 32nd, dead last among all units. And there's nothing to keep opposing defenses honest. It's certainly not Daniel Jones. They signed Kenny Galladay. He's not looking like he's going to be ready to go week one. He's probably going to be banged up all year. I'm just out on Saquon Barkley entirely for this year.
Terrible offensive line in New York. And at least they've tried to fix it, right? They've thrown draft picks at it. They've thrown expensive free agents at it. None of it's worked. And that's been an ongoing concern of mine with Saquon Barkley, and I'm with you on that. The running back I have rostered in none of my leagues to this point is Josh Jacobs. I want my running backs to excel at some component of the game. I want you to be good at something, right? And I want it ideally to like match my scoring system in some way. You know, catch a lot of passes in a PPR league, score touchdowns in a touchdown heavy league. Josh Jacobs doesn't do anything that matches any scoring system that I'm in. He's averaged just two catches per game. Last year, he converted just 6 of 21 carries from inside the 5-yard line. We touched on this earlier in the show. That's a woeful 28% efficiency mark, and it opens up the door for Kenyon Drake. I don't want to have to sweat that backfield. I want no part of Josh Jacobs. Let's move over to the wide receiver position. Scott, who is the wide receiver you will not draft?
Yeah, it's Tyler Lockett. I just can't do it. He's just too inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Last year, he had 4 games over 70 yards. That's it. 8 of his 10 touchdowns came in 3 games. Going in the same round as a bunch of guys I would rather have, like Kupp and Woods and DJ Moore and Ayuk and Higgins, and even a round later at Claypool. The year before, even in 2019, 4 of his games made up 49.8% of his fantasy points, nearly half his fantasy points in just 4 games. That means he's killing you the rest of the games. I can't have that.
No, you're right. That is a disaster. When Tyler Lockett does not score, he kills your team. And by the way, in a guillotine league, the kill your team part is very literal. He will kill your team that way. I'm going to see if I can quick pull this up. I think I've got a Tyler Lockett stat for you to back this up.
They also added Dwayne Eskridge as a better third option than they've had over the last few years. And Petey Sunshine wants to run more. He always wants to run more. So,
yeah, unfortunately, I don't have it. Off the top of my head, so this is not perfect. Tyler Lockett's non-touchdown games averaged like 3 catches, 30 yards.
Jeez.
That's really bad. It's bad. Brian, who is the wide receiver you will not draft?
I'm going to bend the rules a little bit here and give you a two for one. I'm not taking CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper this year because they're essentially going off the board at the same spot. You'll see CeeDee Lamb usually going first around wide receiver 12, 13, and then Cooper. I've seen Cooper go the pick right after CeeDee Lamb. And just to me, both of those guys cannot live up to that ADP. One of them is going to falter, and I don't know which one it is this year. We all love Lamb more moving forward in the future, of course. We just talked about that in the last segment. But for this year, you know, I just mentioned I'm a little iffy on Dak as well. And we also talked about Michael Gallup still in town. He's going to steal targets from both of those guys. I just don't see how both of them could live up to such high ADPs. So I'm just going to avoid that coin flip entirely. And I'm not drafting either in redraft this year.
On our button bar for sounds, we have a peacock, a bear, an aardvark, a mongoose, a horse, a crow, a turkey, a duck,
a partridge,
a vulture,
and a pear tree.
And we don't have a lamb? And there's a player called CeeDee Lamb. How do we not have a lamb sound? It's a bleat. It's a bleat, right?
Is that a lamb?
That's also a lamb. That's the nice. Tim, next show, We need a lamb.
Oh,
thank you.
New producer guy's like, what?
I know. No idea.
Wait, this is a thing? Yell at me to...
The wide receiver that I am not drafting is Juju Smith-Schuster. I made the strong case against him last year, got validated. I'm going back to the well. The issue for Juju is his lack of depth of target and his yards after the catch. He catches short passes and then gets tackled quickly. He has the second shortest average depth of target last year, just 5.8 yards, according to Next Gen Stats. He turned 128 targets last year into 800 yards. That's it. This is a major reversal for Juju Smith-Schuster. Remember those first couple of years?
He had a 98-yarder.
Right. Dude was just like...
Touchdown.
He was slicing through the middle of field. The big-armed Ben was sending these lasers downfield to him. And, hey, God, it's just not that way anymore. And what's more, when Juju Smith-Schuster does not score... His average line over the last 2 years when he does not score, 3 catches, 32 yards.
Okay.
And no score. I mean, destroying your team.
Him and Lockett.
Let's go to the tight. Yes.
We all picked quarterback wide receiver combos.
Yeah, we did, actually. I didn't intentionally do that.
I didn't either.
Let's go to the tight end position. Who's a tight end, Scott, you will not draft?
It's got to be Dallas Goedert. He's currently going as tight end 8, end of the 8th round, which is just, it's insane to me. He might get a decent amount of volume, but... That was his price when everybody thought Ertz was going to go away. And Ertz hasn't left, and that price has not changed yet. Mm. He's going ahead of or in the same range as guys that I like a lot more, like Logan Thomas or Noah Fant or Robert Tonyan. He's going way ahead of Jonnu Smith, ahead of Higbee. There are guys I'd just rather have than Goddard and his role in that offense, at least with Ertz there.
Makes sense. Brian, who is the tight end you will not draft?
Love the guy, probably the best all-around tight end in the NFL. It's George Kittle, but I can't take him in fantasy football. Fantasy football is here as tight end 3, really going late second, early third round. For a guy that's only played one full season in his four-year career, he's just so good at everything, blocking. He's just such a violent player that it's hard for him to stay healthy. He's just going way too early for me, and now... Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel are emerging stars at the wide receiver position. The three of them have never really played together when fully healthy.
Not with a good quarterback either.
And there's going to be a change of quarterback at some point. They're going to go from Jimmy G to Trey Lance. So I'm just – Kittle's going way too high. I can get my boy Kyle Pitts around later, and I have a feeling someone's about to poo-poo on this take. But fading Kittle, all in on Pitts.
It's a battle that will last this year for sure. My co-host, Brian Johnson, shares the opinion of most fantasy analysts that Kyle Pitts, they should be carving the bust in Canton right now for Kyle Pitts, and that he will have a historic rookie tight end year. I will be more reasoned than that. Here's the Kyle Pitts storyline nobody wants to hear and nobody is talking about. There is way more variation in possible outcomes than most people are willing to acknowledge, even though he's a great talent. If he lines up outside as a standing wide receiver for the entirety of this year, I like his prospects to have a fine rookie season. But if he doesn't do that, or only does that sometime, I don't think he can perform nearly to the level people expect. As a true tight end, this thing gets very complicated. Hayden Hurst is a good player who the team acquired at a sizable cost, second and fifth round picks just 1 year ago. Hurst will likely frustrate fantasy owners with his playing time, especially in the first half of the season. And Hurst is a good pass blocker. They will want to keep Hurst in to keep Matt Ryan upright. You can trust his blocking. They may not know that they can do that with Kyle Pitts. And we know from years of playing fantasy, we love our rookies. We love the shiny new toys more than the coaches do. The coaches are always way slower to bring guys on the field than we want them to. Also, there's the long history of tight end rookie failures. And I know if you've heard this show before, you've heard these stats before, but I'm rolling them out anyway because it's awfully important. Over the last two decades, the average first-round rookie tight end has finished as tight end 32. 30 catches, 350 yards and 2 scores for the season. 350 yards and 2 scores for the season. Then, if we isolate it down to the primo tight ends, guys taken in the first 10 picks of the draft over the last two decades, these are the best of the best tight ends. They're somehow worse, averaging as tight end 50 with 20 catches and 230 yards and one touchdown. That's it. He's got to buck a lot of trends, and maybe he'll do it. And Brian Johnson, you're going to have every opportunity to prove me wrong over the course of this season.
My blood pressure is so high right now.
I'm just showing, I'm being the voice of reason.
I do think
the voice nobody wants to hear.
Those are a lot of tight end trends. I think the way a Kyle Pitts truther can justify it is make him a receiver. And Russell Gage last year was the third receiving option in that offense. His stat line would have been good for tight end 3 last year.
Does Russell Gage play tight end?
That's what I'm saying.
He doesn't play outside receiver either.
He's the third receiving option.
He's a slot receiver.
I'm just saying Pitts will be the second receiving option in that offense. It's possible.
He's the new Julio, but one that will be utilized in the red zone.
When we come back, the running back traits of a bust. What do you have to look for to ID a bust running back before it happens? We'll tell you that and unleash our sleepers of the week. Stay tuned, Fantasy Football Weekly.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Of Fantasy Football Weekly. If you would like to download my free cheat sheet, the same one I use when I walk into my drafts, my personal cheat sheet, available at guillotineleagues.com. You can also join a guillotine league, available at whatever prize level you want, or play with your friends. We support private leagues from 8 to 18 owners in your guillotine league. This segment, final segment, the traits of a bust running back, Brian, and then we'll hit on our sleepers of the week as well. A couple of shows ago, I think it was two shows ago, or maybe it was just last week, we talked about the traits of a sleeper running back. Now we're going to flip it over. What are the things that tie together some of the bust running backs?
Yeah, we came up with three traits, and we'll get to them all, of course. But to kick it off, we went back and looked at 6 years of data, running back data. And by data, we looked at running backs that were drafted in the first three rounds of fantasy drafts, but did not return value. And by that, I mean they did not finish as a top 24 running back. So if you were drafted rounds, but did not return top 24 value.
I think that's a very fair metric for a bust. Because when you're drafting
criteria
in the top three rounds, you're expecting to get RB1 or RB2 performance, you know, a starter's performance, and you didn't get that. You got at best a flex or maybe worse.
Now, over the last 6 years, as I mentioned, we found 35 instances of this happening, running backs busting after being picked in the top three rounds. 25 of those 35 busts were mostly due to injury, but that happens, and that's something we'll talk about for sure. But the other 10 were due to non-injury circumstances. So we're going to go through these traits and hopefully avoid those running backs this year. We don't want a busted running back. First bus. I'm sorry. First trait of a bus running back. Mileage, of course.
Yeah.
Running backs that have had over 1,200 career carries get injured at a significantly higher rate. Over the last 6 years, five of the injured runners in question, although five of the injured runners we're about to talk about have over 1,200 career carries. So let's get to these guys. I'm not so sure people are targeting Mark Ingram so much this year.
No, but he's in that category.
He's in the mix. He has almost 1,600 career carries, which is kind of surprising because he's always kind of been in a shared backfield situation, it seems like.
But he's
Saints,
done it long enough.
And then with the Ravens. Mark Ingram with the Texans now, of course. They have, who knows what to make of this Texans depth chart at running back. Fish alluded earlier that Lindsey's on top. Yeah. It might be Ingram.
Nobody's drafting Ingram anyway. No, he's undrafted in most of my leagues.
Yeah, he's not a bus. He's not even a sleeper. He's just an entire bus entirely. We don't want Mark Ingram this year. No. Ezekiel Elliott now.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking
someone you're going to draft early on in your drafts. Almost 1,600 carries for Zeke.
Wow. That's a lot of use.
That's a lot of use in only, what, 4-5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Mentioned last year, offensive line, very decimated, that they should be back to full form. But, I don't know, 1,400 carries for Zeke. Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
You are excited about Tony Pollard.
Yep.
Know that charge. So, right there, Zeke... Fits trait one of a running back bust, as does Melvin Gordon. Not really going in the first three rounds, but some people believe he'll be the starter for the Broncos.
He probably will start week one.
Yeah, he probably will.
Almost 1,300 carries for Melvin Gordon, though. Well over that 1,200 threshold. Mm-hmm. And Javonte Williams, rookie out of North Carolina, more than ready to take that job from Melvin Gordon. So for me, Gordon is a guy I'm completely fading. I'll target Javonte Williams later on, but it's not like I want to get Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. I'm all out on Gordon. I don't know about where you guys
we're out.
Stand on that. And then
I like that you spoke up for me.
I know you. I know you. You're out.
Now, everyone is concerned about when Derrick Henry is going to fall off the cliff.
Yep.
Some think it's this year.
You're right.
But he's only had 1,182 carries. He hasn't hit that 1,200 carries.
He's so close. 18 away.
Watermark. So
can I make a counterpoint on him?
Yes, please.
No running back that hit 2,000 yards has topped 1,500 the following year.
Yeah.
And most of them are way, way below that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And he doesn't get receptions.
Adrian Peterson's 2,000 yard year. He, you know, where his 1995 year or whatever. After that, he lost like 700 yards the next year.
Yeah, Darrington Evans, a guy we've mentioned on the show a lot. I think he didn't really get any work last year. No one really did at the running back position outside of Derrick Henry, but that kind of feels like they're going to change that philosophy in Tennessee and keep Henry healthy a little longer, especially for an expected deep playoff run that they have in Tennessee. So that's it for trait number one, mileage. Now, trait number two for a running back bust is players on a new team.
Uh-huh.
Either moving in the offseason or traded during camp or the season. Once these players go to a new team, the fantasy industry misidentifies them as lead running backs. So let's see if we can find any
running backs that
these traits. And guys in the past, big names, we expected them to be RB1s, RB2s, Le'Veon Bell when he went to the Jets. Todd Gurley, even when he went to the Falcons, people still had some belief with Todd Gurley. Leonard Fournette, everyone thought he was going to be the lead back for Tampa Bay. Always kind of in a timeshare there. So let's look at the guys on new teams this year. The first one, the most glaring example, is Mike Davis in Atlanta, taking over for Todd Gurley. Davis is in his seventh season, kind of a journeyman, but as of now, he looks like the lead guy. We talked about in the Inside the Five segment, Gurley had 17 rushes inside the five, which is a lot.
That is.
So they all think they're going to Mike Davis as of right now, but if they bring in another back, that would certainly lean to Mike Davis busting. But I don't know where you guys stand on Davis. He's not going super high or super late, but do you think he returns RB2 value, which is what people are expecting?
Yeah, I think so, yes. I feel like there's just nobody else that's gonna interrupt him getting a fair amount of work here, even if he's not a special player. As we know, fantasy football is more about opportunity than talent.
It's true.
The next guy next running back in a new place, James Conner, was two of the 35 names on the overall list of busts in the last 6 years already. So he's already hit this criteria in other areas, but now he's on the new team trait. We talked about the Cardinals inside the five earlier in the show where Kenyon Drake had 22 carries inside the 5-yard line to Chase Edmonds' 1. So will they all go to James Conner? We'll see. But the writing is on the wall, sort of. Conner has had an injury history in the past. There's some mileage there. That's trait number 1. Trait number 2, he's on a new team. So people expecting Conner to be the RB1 in Arizona, not so sure. I think I would still lean Chase Edmonds, even though he's going a little earlier in draft. So there's trait number 2, players on a new team. You might want to avoid any running back on a new team this year because it generally does not work out well. And now the last trait identified by our Matt Harrison is the running back is just not a proven good player.
Yeah.
I mean, just because he's, you know, it happens a lot.
Yes. We think a guy's a good player, but he hasn't proven it, and we're wrong. That happens a lot.
Yeah, you see limited work, then the door opens up to essentially a full-time gig.
Yes.
And we all make the assumption this guy's going to be a bell cow back, and I'm getting him at a steal at an RB2 rate. So let's look at guys that look to be lead backs, but they're not proven to be good players yet. And we're going to go back to Daryl Henderson with the Rams. Last year, lost significant touches to Malcolm Brown. The last 2 years, really. Primarily at the stripe, too, which is concerning for Henderson. You want him to be getting those goal line carries. They did draft Cam Akers to be the lead back last year. Of course, Akers is out this year. So they lost belief in Daryl Henderson pretty much, it seemed like. They did bring in Sony Michel. We're all not too concerned with Sony Michel. But, again, Daryl Henderson, not a proven guy that can handle a ton of work and just not a proven elite good running back. So time will tell with him. Now, another guy on the list here, and I'm going to throw Matt under the bus because I don't agree with this one, and I don't think Fish will, but Miles Gaskin looks to be the lead running back in Miami. Granted, not a proven good player yet, but he's looked good on tape. But he's a former seventh-round pick, only averaged 4.1 yards per carry last year. So we need to see a full season out of Miles Gaskin. He does fit the
criteria.
And he's going in the late third round. He's getting drafted as an RB2, a starting running back of most teams. So a guy you want to be a little worried about, Miles Gaskin. And lastly, Michael Carter for the Jets, rookie running back. That looks like a full-on three-man platoon to me. Some people think Carter runs away.
I think he does because everybody else has no talent, and he might be talented.
He might be, but he might just be a warm body. He was a fourth-round pick. He wasn't, you know, highly touted coming out of college. There's a rookie quarterback for the Jets, as we all know. New coaching staff. So Michael Carter, unproven rookie, not a proven good player, might have opportunity, but he fits the third trait of a running back bust. So, guy, we're not too excited about.
Thank you, Brian, and an assist to Matt Harrison, who put together a lot of that data for us. The you mentioned the Jets and the rookie quarterback. Zach Wilson looks good.
He looks good.
You know, you get rid of Adam Gase, you put 2 first-round picks on an offensive line, you add in Zach Wilson. He's got capable targets to throw to. Jets are going to be an ascending offense, which is, not, you know, they were the worst offense in the league last year, so I'm not saying a lot. Obviously, they'll get better. But I think people have just, you know, we're so used to the Jets being so bad for so long that I think some people are missing the boat on how quickly this offense could return to competency.
I saw something interesting where a couple months ago, if you haven't heard by now, Corey Davis and Zach Wilson are like BFFs all of a sudden. Like, Wilson is just locked in on Corey Davis, but you were getting people were drafting Elijah Moore in the 9th round and Corey Davis in like the 15th round a couple months ago. That is completely flip flopped. Now you're seeing Corey Davis go 8th, 9th round and Elijah Moore. So yeah, it's crazy.
Let's go to our sleepers for this week, beginning with Scott Fish. Who are you unveiling?
Let's just stick with what we're talking about because my guy is Elijah Moore. I think is paired up with
I did not mean to do that.
Ascending quarterback and ascending offense has been lighting up camp. He had a slight injury for a little bit, and then he came back and lighting up camp again. That quad injury didn't slow him down. And really, who's going to catch passes there? It's going to be Corey Davis, and it's going to be Elijah Moore in a lot of negative.
What about Jamison Crowder? My worry is that Jamison Crowder's a slot guy, and Elijah Moore's a slot guy. That's why I've been lukewarm on Elijah Moore. Do you not share that?
He's been playing all over so far.
Has he?
Yep.
I need him. to play outside. And obviously Corey Davis plays outside, so I'm not worried about that part. I assume at some point Denzel Mims will play outside. I don't know if
Denzel Mims stays on the team. He's way behind in the pecking order now.
My sleeper this week is Will Fuller, the player nobody wants, slumping to wide receiver 51.
Not in a guillotine,
average
though.
Draft position. Well, probably not.
He's out week one with the PED.
He's still out week one. He's going off the board in round 12, wide receiver 51. How come? Well, there's injury history, and a couple of weeks ago he did have his foot injury dinged up, but he's returned to practice. He's got the week one suspension stemming from last year's PED bust. But let's just rewind the clock to last year. It's week 12, right before the PED bust happens. Will Fuller is wide receiver 10 when his season ends. 10. He's ahead of Keenan Allen, Tyler Lockett, Allen Robinson, Calvin Ridley, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and Adam Thielen.
It was finally the year.
But right?
Now you say it's this year.
Well, no. Look, just okay. Wide receiver 51.
Yeah.
He was wide receiver 10 last year. Now, he had scored 8 times in 11 games. He led the NFL in yards per target last year. And
Jose Canseco was a great baseball player, too, when he was
right. I'd like to think that's not a factor here. Now, he does get a downgraded quarterback from Deshaun Watson to Tua, but nevertheless, Tua probably gets better in year two. Jaylen Waddle probably needs a full year before he's a major threat. The Miami running game is middling, as we've talked about before. And for a guy who was tarnished by the injury-prone tag, Fuller didn't miss a game last year with injury. He missed the games eventually with the PED suspension, but he had played the full season to that point. I just think wide receiver 51 in round 12 is just too late for Will Fuller. Brian, who is your sleeper this week?
You know I love me some tight ends, and I gotta pump Donald Parham, the tight end for the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, technically, the backup tight end to Jared Cook, who was acquired by the Chargers in the offseason, but reports out of camp are they're utilizing Cook and Parham on the field at the same time. And Parham's kind of getting the poor man's Kyle Pitts usage, where they're lining him up on the outside, ended in the slot, primarily inside the 20-yard line. And speaking of injury-prone, Mike Williams never stays healthy for the Chargers.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen, I'm not wishing
misses
either.
A game or two.
Misses a game or two.
And he also lied to us about whether or not we could start him in our fantasy leagues.
And Donald Parham, he's an up-and-coming star, former XFL star, 6'8".
It's like, nuts.
How do you cover that in the end zone? Justin Herbert is going to be looking Donald Parham's way more often than not, or more often than you think this year. So he's a deep sleeper he's gonna bubble up to the top.
Okay.
Allen's only missed 2 games in the last 4 years. It feels like more.
It feels like way more. He enters a lot of weekends questionable.
He's always on the injury report, though. Yeah,
we're all trying to find Chargers with value, right? Because we all want Chargers. We all want to be part of this offense.
Well, I had Tyron Johnson last week was my sleeper.
There's one guy nobody's talking about. Michael Badgley. And I know we almost never talk kickers. Michael Badgley, who was wildly inaccurate. He missed 2 years ago. He didn't finish the season. He got hurt. And then this last year, 2020, he was inaccurate. But he's pretty much wrapped up that competition there to stay. He might be somebody in kicker leagues that you want to, if you're trying to, you want a piece of the Chargers. You don't have to pay the heavy price that they're all going for right now.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a guy you could consider. If you'd like to try Guillotine League, please do. GuillotineLeagues.com. We've got all kinds of leagues available for you to peruse and learn about the hottest new format in fantasy football. We will be back next week with more Fantasy Football Weekly in the heart of draft season. Talk to you then, everybody. Bye-bye. Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.